From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 27th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is 1 hour, one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association Conference, CSPOA.org, to learn more. Had an incredible public event yesterday. Today, the sheriffs break it down in private to see what they're going to do about gun control, about the First Amendment, about how they're going to reject restrictions on businesses and stand up for Americans and reject the lies of the COCO vaccination mandate. What are they talking about? I mean, they're out of control, folks, and they've got to just simply be stopped. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, the name of the conference, a two-day event. Chris Ann Hall wraps it all up. Chris Ann Hall, well-known constitutional attorney and public speaker, has the final word. So that's all coming up. We'll brief you on the details. Yesterday, we had a great broadcast, though, I'm telling you right now. We had the El Dorado County Sheriff's Lieutenant Jeff Leacock with us. Phenomenal guy, doing a great job out in California. Poor guy, could you imagine being out in California these days, folks? Oh, jeez Louise. All right, we also had former Elkhart County Sheriff Brad Rogers with us, and Brad's always a great public speaker. He's currently elected, believe it or not, after being sheriff, and he was term limited, don't you know? And then he became a county commissioner, doing a phenomenal job up there as well in Indiana. We had our guest on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us, doing a phenomenal job, remote, by the way, from the conference. We talked about Kristi Noem discussing the loss of the Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota. Why wouldn't South Dakota keep working on that pipeline regardless of what Crazy Joe says? Look, there is this thing called nullification, ladies and gentlemen. We got to stick with it, I'm telling you what. Action alert. We got to stop the con. Yeah, it's a con, the con. And we really need to stop the crony capitalism as well, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to make a big difference. Campaignforliberty.org. Preserving female sports, another Utah bill. It's across the country, folks. I'm telling you right now, these men want to just roll into these women's sports and just dominate. When we're talking about football, just imagine if you're just rushing the female quarterback and they just nail her like they do in pro football. Could you imagine, folks? But it's just out of control. And we've got to come to our senses on this fact that there are males and females God ordained. Shall I tell you that? Reject the move, ladies and gentlemen, to rename Dixie State University in Utah. They want to tell you it's all racist to have a Dixie State. It isn't racist. It's historical, folks. That was hour one of the broadcast yesterday. Still available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips. We also had our guest Richard Mack's son, Jimmy Mack, with us on your radio. We talked about where we were. We were with former Congressman Steve Stockman, by the way, now free by the grace of God Almighty. Sam and Steve chat about the border, immigration, fake news, and many other topics. That's the recap of yesterday's broadcast, available now on demand at your fingertips, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. Today, news the networks refuse to use starts now, live from the CSPOA conference, CSPOA.org, to learn more. And Steve Toth with us, ladies and gentlemen. And he is a Texas state representative. SteveToth4Texas.com is the website. And he's a South Montgomery, Texas state representative. Now, I guess he's also an ordained minister, local small business owner, and more. He says it's time to reverse the out-of-control actions in Texas. It's time to go ahead and stand up for what? It's imperative to defend our Constitution. I love it. Steve, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Great to be with you, Sam.
So catch me up a little bit then. You were in, you were a state rep, and then you were going to run for Congress, and then you came back to be a state rep, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you back, sir.
Great to be back, and it's great to be with you this morning. I love the CSPOA. I was part of the convention in Missouri in 2013, and this place, and Sheriff Mack has a special place in my heart. He actually came and spoke on behalf and testified on behalf of my Federal Firearms Protection Act bill back in 2013.
Wisely so. By the way, that's on the agenda today for the sheriffs as well, and we're hoping that you can be there and be part of that.
Looking forward to it.
So that's something really important. I know that Biden is kind of, what, taking off the gloves on gun control. He's ready to take them out of our hands. You've got a few Republican betrayers amongst the group as well. What do you think is going to happen this time, gun controller? Are we going to be able to stand up and stop it?
We're going to absolutely. We've got a number of initiatives right here in the state of Texas to nullify and interpose, and we're absolutely not going to allow this. It's just not going to happen here in Texas.
Nullify now is the key. Interposition certainly vital as well. Do you think that the legislative bodies are as strong on the states? You know, states have been steamrolled as of late by the feds, and it seems like they need to just bust out and stand up. They've been kind of afraid to because of the cash that rolls from the feds to states. In my opinion, illegal as all get out, but that's another topic. But do you think they can stand strong even with the money gravy train rolling, sir?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we should. This is one area where we need to take a lesson from the left. The left nullifies and interposes over drugs. They nullify and interpose over the issue of immigration, federal immigration. And as an example, okay, they have sanctuary cities all over the United States. They continue to disobey ICE detainer orders. They continue to legalize drugs when against federal law. So why is it we're not doing the same thing over life? Why are we not nullifying and interposing over life and protecting the
unborn? The real reason why is because the Democrats understand nullification better than we do.
That's
so when
it,
it's a,
exactly.
When it's a belligerent, crazy, psychotic view, they do pretty well. When it's the moral,
exactly,
constitutional law,
we
don't stand up like we should.
We absolutely do. I mean, at the end of the day, what this really comes down to is spine and the lack thereof on the part of the Republican Party. We don't have the spine to do it.
Now, I believe Donald Trump has really changed the party, though. You know what? I lost a ton of faith in the Republican Party. Every time we turn around, I mean, we had the Republican Revolution, or whatever you want to call it, the freshman, whatever, back in the 90s. You had the, you know, retake the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, and we didn't get a lot done. But I believe Trump has really, in many ways, remade the party and given it a little bit of mojo, huh?
Absolutely. You know, you look at it all the way back in 2009, the Texas House was 76 Republicans to 74 Democrats. And then 1 year later, this thing called the Tea Party had occurred. We went from a 76-74 majority to a 101-49 seat majority. And, you know, at the end of the day, what this really comes down to is that if you have a clear, strong, bright, bold color messages, Ronald Reagan talked about it, instead of drab pastels, people will turn out and vote. But then what's really incumbent is that you then have to go and legislate as conservatives. You can't just talk about it. You got to do it. And that's what Trump did. That's what Trump did.
Yes, he did.
And that's why a record number of people turned out and voted for him. I don't believe it was 74 million. I think it was closer to 85 million.
Or even more than that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because he stood for pro-life. He stood for the proper view on Israel. He put some quite a big bit of good judges. Now, the Supreme Court judges might have been somewhat of a concern. But up and down the line, and appellate judges and everything else, he did a phenomenal job. I don't think people are giving him credit or recognizing really what was accomplished.
At the end of the day, you know, people can get hung up over the way Trump tweets, whatever. I'm so done with that stupid message.
I kind of dig it. I kind of think it's fun just to take those people and mock them a little bit. Come on.
Well, and at the end of the day, too, it's just this is the way he gets under the skin of his opponents, and he makes he absolutely sidetracks them from what he's really doing, which is some really solid policy that all of us have been asking for years. I mean, look at Biden's been in office now for 30 days, and he's already started a war in Syria. He's already dragging us deeper into Syria, which is what we don't want.
Yeah, it's disaster on steroids. No
Completely.
Question.
Completely. And yet, everyone said, on the left.
I think they're calling it, by the way, Operation Quagmire, aren't they?
It's complete. Yeah, yeah. This is what the war establishment, the deep swamp, wants, is to get our boys and young girls involved in another foreign war. And this is what Trump was so strongly speaking out against. This is what the left said that Trump was going to be about. Trump is going to drag us into wars. Did he?
They said he was going to drag us into wars and ruin the economy. Isn't that the deal?
Yeah,
absolutely. We had the best economy in modern times?
Absolutely.
Now, by the way, you're a small business owner, right?
I am.
Tell me about it.
So we have a construction company. We build water projects, everything from residential pools to commercial pools to commercial water projects.
I'm going to tell you a story about a pool. I was 11 years old, and we wanted a swimming pool. So the contractor came over and gave us a bid, and my dad's like, well, it might be a little bit too expensive for us right now. My dad was a general contractor, by the way, and he went in to take a phone call, and I talked to the pool man. I was about 11 years old, and I said, hey, man, do you like to travel? The guy's like, oh, yeah, I love it. I said, I'll tell you what, man, we'll trade this motorhome for a swimming pool. And the guy actually wanted to do it, but he said, I got to have your dad come out and say he'll do it. So we traded the motorhome for a swimming pool, buddy, when I was 11 years old. My first trade ever, man.
You are bound to be an entrepreneur, Sam. That is just awesome. I love
that. It was so fun. And I believe it or not, I didn't think my dad would do it, but my dad's like, will you really do this, sir? The guy's like, yeah, I love to travel, and I've been actually looking for a motorhome. And anyway, we literally got a pool and a jacuzzi, man.
That's awesome.
So, but I bring this up, though, because that's the genius of America, right? That's who we
are
as a people.
Yeah.
And they're trying to shut that down right now and quadruple down on the stimulus to where what? They don't have to open up the economy. They could just keep control of everyone and shut us all down
just
and they
keep
just hand out.
Keep printing money until the U.S. dollar is no longer the anchor currency and it's Bitcoin.
Do you hear the money music, buddy?
Yes, sir.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. Steve Toth with me. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about America. We're talking live from the CSPOA conference. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event happening right now. CSPOA.org to learn more. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. LibertyRoundtable.com. Live and on demand radio at your fingertips. We are live from the CSPOA conference. Wow. We're at the Woodlands Resort in Woodlands, right out of sight of Houston, Texas. Steve Toth with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about America. We're talking about the fact that this guy is a state representative for the state of Texas. What is it? State 15, is that the district?
House District 15, you got
House
it.
District 15, all right, just want to make sure of that. It's Steve Toth for Texas, or Toth for Texas.com, F-O-R, right?
F-O-R.
Spelled out. Got it. South Montgomery County. Is Montgomery County a liberty-loving county, or are they?
We are the reddest county.
Really?
In the reddest state in America. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Is it a religious state, too? Because we lose our country if we're not a religious people, sir.
Our Constitution is wholly fit only for a religious people, and I think Montgomery County is a county that seeks to know the Lord and seeks to love him and follow after his word.
Bring it. So you're an ordained minister as well as a businessman, right?
And a recovering Baptist, yes.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
All that?
Yes, sir.
Man, so tell me, your business in swimming pools, how's it doing? Are people building pools since they can't go anywhere?
So since I got elected, I can't do construction anymore, so we just
Why?
Do service.
Hold on. Well, stop. Hold on. Why not? This is China?
Yeah. Well, the problem is we're supposed to be a part-time legislature. We're paid a grand total of $600 a month to serve. So
for reals, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's it. We get a per diem while we're in session, but we're only in session 5 months every 2 years. So the government that governs least governs best. That's our philosophy. And
yeah, we have 60 days of terror in Utah. 60 days is our legislative session.
Every year,
days.
Though, right?
Yeah, every year, 60 days. So that's, what, 4 months every 2 years?
Actually, that's the way I wish it was in Texas. I wish we were in for 2 months once a year.
Yeah.
Right,
I wish
now
they were in session every Monday. That's it.
Well,
every Monday, so it'd be 52 days a year.
Yeah, we're 140 days every 2 years, and there are a lot of people that wish it was 2 days every 140 years.
Amen to that. The reason that I wish it was every Monday, to be honest with you, is because then we could harass you guys all 6 days of the week. Well, we'd leave you alone on Sunday, okay?
Yeah.
But we'd harass you like 4 days or 5 days a week, and then one day you'd be representing us, and then the other day we'd leave you alone to rest and pray to the Lord and repent and change and do all the wonderful things that you could do. And then see what we could do, though, is we could then just bend your mind around all the different issues that matter to us. And wouldn't that be phenomenal, really, honestly?
That'd be great.
I mean, it'd be great fun. If you're a Steve. If you're one of the other guys that don't really want to talk to the constituents, then it would kind of suck, right, for them.
Yeah, it would. It would. We our philosophy is a lot different in that my staff does not act like gatekeepers. In fact, I just give out my cell phone number.
I know, it's right on your
everyone.
Website. I saw that.
Yeah, my
Crazy.
Cell phone number is 281-770-7287. If you have an issue, call me. So we're good with it.
All right. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen, that really matters. If your representative doesn't make himself completely available to you as a constituent, fire them.
Yes.
Would you please fire them and find somebody else who will be available to you, please? Because that's what we need in America if we want to change.
Absolutely.
All right. So is your business completely on hold, or do you just have it in the hands of others, or what?
No, my wife. So kids are all grown up. My oldest is 32, and she's just gave us 2 grandbabies.
Congratulations,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal, man. She had twins. Yeah. Katie had twins. And then my 28-year-old boy just got engaged, and then I've got a 24-year-old boy.
One girl, 2 boys.
Yes, sir.
And what, 2 grandkids so far?
2 grandbabies, yeah.
All right. Congratulations, man.
Thank
I've got
you.
8 kids and 5 grandkids. And I'll tell you what, grandkids are kind of the payback for all the work you've done, my
I
friend.
I know. That's it.
Some people say we should have done it backwards. I want the grandkids first, and then I can learn to be a parent after that,
yeah,
right?
You can practice on the grandbabies, right?
All right. So let's talk about this a little more. The CSPOA conference, the Second Amendment's a real big key. But I really think the First Amendment's a big key, though. You know what? They don't want businesses to be able to stay open. You know, these are people's livelihoods. And I'm a little bit concerned about your business, although it sounds like it's in good hands. If you put it in the hands of your better half, you're always okay. But I'm just saying, this idea that they can have conflict of interest everywhere, but yet a guy like you can't even make a living. They attacked Trump on the same principle, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And they went after him and made up all sorts of ridiculous claims of payoffs from foreign nations and being, you know, colluding with Russia. And I mean, even when the hydroxychloroquine thing came out, they said, oh, he's being paid off by the manufacturer of hydroxychloroquine, which, you know, it's a tablet that costs all of 10 cents. I mean, it was just so ridiculous, Sam.
Yeah, but they can deceive the public, and if they tell the lie long enough, they're, you know.
People buy into it, right?
Yeah.
And,
but we can
the
tell the truth here, though.
The media was completely complicit in all of it.
Honesty is the issue, no doubt about it, my friend. So how does an ordained minister fit into swimming pools and legislating?
good question. So
I'm just saying you're a very talented, multi-capable guy.
Yeah, as a young man, I started taking seminary courses, and my life's goal and dream was to one day be in full-time ministry, and I eventually wound up in full-time ministry at a huge church here in the Woodlands. And after 2 years, I just felt like, and I was over marriage and family life counseling, and I still love to do that, but I realized that I needed to be bivocational and do both ministry as well as be in the marketplace. I worked for Johnson & Johnson for a number of years, and just I love the marketplace. I love being involved in it, doing consulting work in it, and felt like, you know, there's this entrepreneurial part of me that just needed to continue to exist, and so here I am. Today, I'm involved with Mighty Oaks. I started a ministry, this is going back 2010, with Chad and Kathy Robichaux, and today it's grown to be one of the largest faith-based veteran service organizations in the United States, helping veterans with PTSD, a Christ-centered approach to sharing the gospel with these guys. And like we've always said from the beginning, which is, if what you're doing isn't working, try the Lord. And it has led to thousands of guys with PTSD going through our program that were suicidal. And to date, it's probably one of the most successful programs in the United States. Is the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines send active duty guys through our program. It's amazing.
I want to talk about this a little bit more, because this is where President Trump did a lot of good, too, for the veterans that, you know, others have talked about it and never really got it done. Donald Trump did quite a bit for the veterans, too. I know more needs to be done. Don't misunderstand the point. But I think there he doesn't get credit either.
No, again, and so started under Bush. Bush started an affiliation, an association with faith-based veteran service organizations. And then as soon as Obama came into office, he scuttled it. And the reality is that, you know, if the science matters, if the data matters, if past track record matters, these are the only programs, Sam, that seem to work. And right now, you know,
let me just stop you, though. Not have seemed to work, that have proven to work.
Proven to work, yeah, I'm sorry. So as an example, under Bush, we were losing 16 veterans a day to suicide. Obama went and eliminated the program, and it jumped from 16 to 22 in the matter of about 3 months. And so that's where we're at right now. We're at about 22 a day that are committing suicide. Trump goes and puts the program back in place. And to date, we've had about between 3,500 and 4,000 veterans go through our program, and we've lost one to suicide. I mean, it is absolutely the best track record of any program out there.
I don't cry on the radio, but you know what? This stuff gets emotional, though, when you talk about people who have served our country, and then when they get back, we don't give them the support and the dignity and the honor that they and their families deserve. That and then babies and pro-life, and you know, you mix these together because they're really one and the same, right?
Yep.
Just different stages of life. Anyway, I don't usually get emotional on the radio, but this stuff, man, yanks at your heartstrings. How can you be? I mean, they always talk about, well I'm a heartfelt conservative, or I'm a compassionate conservative, or whatever they say, and I appreciate those things, but I look at it and say, how do people have such disregard for families, for individual life, for seriously traumatic circumstances that create emotional issues later? How do we have just a disregard for this and a lack of knowledge about it in our culture? It's just shocking to me.
It's cognitive dissonance. Romans 1, I'm going to wax theological here. Romans
Please.
1 says you have an inherent knowledge of God. Romans 2 says you not only have an inherent knowledge of God, in around the 12th verse it says that God has written his laws in our heart. And around the 15th and 16th verse, it says you either walk in agreement with those things or you violate your conscience by walking in opposition to the laws that God has written on our hearts. And that's why people are absolutely devoid mentally and spiritually and emotionally, because they've got a seared conscience.
They've got a seared conscience because we as a society have turned our backs on God primarily.
And his laws.
Eternal law, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Toff with me, ladies. Toff with me. We're talking about life. We're talking about liberty. And we're talking about hope in society. Businessman, leader in religious things, ministries, and a Texas state legislator on your radio in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
You're Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
The COVID relief bill passes the House. The American Rescue Plan approved early Saturday morning. The almost $2 trillion bill now goes to the Senate. Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy among those opposing the bill this week.
Mr. Speaker, let me be clear. The swamp is back. Every day since January 20th, Democrats have sided with their special interest allies and ignored the real needs of the American people.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the bill offers a bold solution for a once-in-a-lifetime crisis. She adds the bill will protect American lives and get our economy back on track. Another COVID vaccine closer to approval. Federal health advisors Friday announcing their support for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The FDA must grant emergency use authorization before the vaccine can be distributed. They promise to respond rapidly. This would be the third vaccine approved, but the only one requiring just one dose. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, but you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Biden glad to hear the news about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine moving closer to final approval. Biden in Houston on Friday, he says we'll get back to normal, but we have to unite.
If there's one thing I know about America, it's this. Americans never give up. They never give in. They never cry uncle. They just struggle, innovate, and they preserve and persevere. We're going to get through all of this. I promise you. We're going to do it together. Together.
Biden also in Texas to discuss emergency relief efforts following the deadly winter storm. He promises the federal government will be partners to help the state recover and rebuild for the long haul. Biden yesterday also discussing the military strike he ordered in Syria this week. The strike's aimed at Iran for supporting militia groups that U.S. officials believe have attacked American troops. Biden says Iran should be aware that it cannot act with impunity. An Iraqi official says one fighter was killed. A London-based human rights group reports at least 22 people killed, but the Pentagon not releasing any casualty numbers. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking live to Steve Toth. Steve Toth for Texas.com. He's a South Montgomery County, Texas state representative, ordained minister, and small business owner. You got to dig all those three. Very unique blend. A lot of people do lip service to religious things, but very few are really the real McCoy, or the real Steve, as I should say. You know what? This guy believes in Jesus Christ, and it shows in all that he does. Steve, you were mentioning right on the pause about Romans 13 and the importance of how it relates to governments, right?
Correct. Correct. So Romans 13 states that not only does God ordain the people that serve in government, but he ordained the form of governance that we live under. So with that in mind, look at 1776, we become a constitutionalist republic, not a democracy, but a constitutional republic.
Yes, sir.
That understands, and this is where American exceptionalism, whenever you hear conservatives talk about American exceptionalism, what is that? And I think most conservatives don't even understand what it is. But what it is, it's the understanding that our rights do not come from a piece of paper. They're codified on a piece of paper, but they come from God. And if you look at what happened around that same time, let them eat cake in France, right, where you had the French Revolution. Well, within about 12 years of the French Revolution, they weren't living in liberty. They were living in tyranny under Napoleon Bonaparte. Why? Because they believed that the rights came from government, not from God. And that's why 250 years later, we still live in freedom.
Let me say it this way, ladies and gentlemen. The moral code Okay, de Tocqueville kind of put it out that, hey, we're great people because we're a good people. When he said good, he meant a moral people. And if we cease to be good or moral, then we cease to be great. And that's true for every peoples, if you will, on the planet. Okay, if they obey eternal God's laws, they'll be blessed. And he will protect us and heal our land if we repent.
That's right.
But
that's
if we don't, we lose it all.
That's the problem we have right now is we've turned our back on the Lord. He is removing the blessings of liberty, as my friend Paul Edwards has often talked about, are bestowed on us from God. And when we turn our backs on his law, Romans 1 and 2, then he turns his back on us. He removes the blessings of liberty, and it's when we start experiencing tyranny. Sam, that's what we've got going on in our land right now.
I know. That's why we got to repent. We got to go back, my friend. We got to return. We got to restore. That's why we don't need a revolution. We need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's why.
Exactly. Exactly. And you really see that preached in very few churches today. My pastor, Steve Riggle at Grace Church, he preaches that every single Sunday. But unfortunately, the pulpit and pastors are quiet because they don't want to offend anybody.
They got to get after it, buddy. They got to pull out the Black Regiment.
Yep, yep.
The Black Robe Regiment. Come on, people.
Black Robe Regiment. We got to hear it again.
Amen. Let's do it. We need it from the pulpit. We need it from radio broadcasters who have the guts to throw down for Jesus. Come on. All right, I digress. Let's talk about Rand Henderson.
Yeah, that's
He's a great sheriff. He's at our event yesterday. And kind of helping out, speaking, and kind of set this whole thing up for the CSPOA in your county, right, sir?
Yeah. This is so funny. When Rand ran for office, I didn't know him, right?
Okay.
And so the Tea Party in our area got behind the other guy. And I didn't really know the other guy all that well. But I said to him, I said, hey, this other guy, this Rand Henderson guy that's running for sheriff against you, I said, he's got the endorsement of Sheriff Mack and the CSPOA. I said, why don't you have it? And he goes, well, I didn't ask for it. And I said, why didn't you ask for it? And he looked at me, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Steve, you're not one of these guys that believes that if the federal government wants to take our guns, you're not one of these guys that believes that I should stand up to the federal government and defend your right to have a gun.
Excuse me? Wait a minute. I said, what? Sir? Did you just go, sir? Are you kidding me right now?
I said, are you kidding me? I said, you took an oath when you were a city police officer, a police chief. I said, you took an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. I said, who do you think the domestic enemies of the Constitution are? It's you. It's guys like you.
Wow. All right, well, let me ask you this, because this is fascinating. Bill Clinton thought that Sheriff Mack should just shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton even threatened to arrest Sheriff Richard Mack at the time and said, you know what, Sheriff, if you don't go along with my mandate, I'm going to arrest you and throw you in jail. And Sheriff Mack said, I don't think so, President. And they went to battle, and President Bill Clinton at the time lost, and Richard Mack won that Supreme Court decision, one of the greatest 10th Amendment modern-day realities we face, but why isn't Bill in jail?
But here,
if he's going to arrest Richard for losing, and if Bill lost, shouldn't Bill go to jail, sir?
Yeah, he sure should, but let's keep this in context. I mean, Sheriff Mack won that decision 5-4 because there were five Republican-appointed judges instead of four. But the key thing is that you don't go to the courts for state sovereignty. You don't go to the courts for individual rights. You go to the courts to lose your rights and to lose your sovereignty as a state, because the courts want to infuse more power at the federal level.
With rare exception, you're correct.
And so what we need to do then is just say no. And so as an example, in May of this year, when restaurants and beauty parlors and barbershops were closed, I got a call from a group of guys that said, look, we're going to go bankrupt if we don't open up our barbershop. They have a string of them across Texas and south central United States. And I said, well, how about if I come in and get a haircut? If you guys open, we'll invite the press. And if someone wants to arrest me, they can arrest me. But we're going to show that right now what we need to do is all have some spine and go get our haircut. So myself and State Representative Briscoe Kane called the press. I called my local sheriff, Rand Henderson. I said, Rand, I said, I'm going to get you in hot water here if you don't mind. And he goes, go for it. What is it? And I said, well, I'm going to go get my haircut, and I just want you to know about it, because I didn't want to do this behind his back. He's a true, faithful follower of the Constitution, and he's one of our supporters of the, you know, I mean, this guy's a liberty kind of minded sheriff and a CSPOA member. And Rand goes, go ahead, we're not going to give you any trouble whatsoever. And so sure enough, we went, got our haircut. It was on the press, it was on the media, everyone knew about it. And it really steeled the spine of small businesses across Montgomery County and Texas that we have got to go ahead and open. That your ability to work isn't just an ability, it's not just a passion, it's a right that God gave you, not government. And there's nothing is in keeping with the understanding of what a right is, rights can't be taken away. They can only be infringed. States don't have rights. States have sovereignty. They have authority. They have power, but they don't have rights. You and
I have, based on our consent, power.
Correct. Correct. But only you and I have rights because they've been granted to us by God. Period. End of story.
By the almighty author of our liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. So when you guys did this, you guys really set the stage for solutions. I want to make this clear.
Yes, absolutely. And we wanted to put pressure on government for them to understand where our rights come from, that government can't pick winners and losers. They can't decide who's essential and who's not an essential. It's crazy. So as an example, you can't eat at a Subway restaurant, but you could eat at a Subway restaurant if it's located in Walmart. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well, that's just special people pulling the lever of government in their favor, right?
Exactly. If you've got millions of dollars and you've got a 501c4 recognized lobbyist in Austin, Texas, your business can be open. If you don't have that kind of stroke financially, then sucks to be you. You're put out of business, and we will lose about one third of the restaurants in the state of Texas this year that are privately and independently owned. That is just criminal.
And that is the genius of America, too. I mean, these small business owners are the ones that create some of the most unique things, whether it be swimming pools or whether it be food or whatever else it be. That's the genius of America. 9 times out of 10, big businesses don't even create anything anymore or develop things or brainchild anything. All they do is they watch for the next guy to come to the table with a new mousetrap kind
and
of thing.
And
then they try to buy it and take it over, right?
Yeah, and then anytime you see government intervening in our lives, it always screws things up. They can do nothing right. They can't even deliver the mail correctly. Government can do two things really well, and it's through the military. They can kill people and break things, and that's what the military's for, and that's the only thing that government does really well. But if you look at what happened during this COVID shutdown, we saw a huge spike in the number of suicides in our county and across the state of Texas and across the United States. And one thing we don't know yet is we took veterans that already are suicidal, that are struggling with post-traumatic stress, and we said, you can't work, you can't leave your house, but you can go buy alcohol. And so what we want you to do is go home.
Sit in your house and drink.
And watch Netflix, right? You can go home, sit, watch Netflix and drink. What could go wrong with that, right? And so we don't even know. We think the suicide rate, because you have to look at it historically, and retrospectively, and it typically takes months and years to figure out what those true numbers are. Our suicide rate among veterans could be upwards at north of 30 a day right now. But again, that's really difficult information that the Veterans Administration typically takes years to figure out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're praying for daylight, to borrow a Rascal Flatts term. We're hoping that Americans can understand. We're at a crossroads kind of right now, in my opinion. We've always had kind of polarization, but they pitched it as the left, right, Republican, Democrat, male, female, whatever divide line, fault line they could find. We need to come together as Americans, though, and say, you know what? It's about morality. It's about the Constitution. And anybody who's for that is on our side. And anybody who's not just simply needs to be turned out of office, let them retire, and we'll find people who will. Steve, final thoughts here.
Great to be with you, brother. And thanks for carrying the message forward of life, liberty. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Steve Toth for Texas.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live from the Crown of the Fugitive Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, ladies and gentlemen. Live conference in, what is this, Woodlands, Texas? Oh, man, you got to dig it, man. We had an incredible day yesterday. I want to talk about a little bit about the day really quick before my next guest joins us and stuff like that. You know what? Yesterday was phenomenal. Okay, a couple of hundred people in the house. Constitutional topics going on, incredible speakers. Michael Perutka doing a phenomenal job. You know, he's the constitutional attorney with TheAmericanView.com. And as you know, Michael Perutka joins us monthly on the radio. And he's actually agreed to start joining us twice a month. So that's phenomenal news, too. There was kind of a comment made that I want to kind of address. The poor supporters of Michael Perutka and stuff like that. We're saying kind of Michael plays second fiddle to another attorney that's here that will remain nameless for the time being. But there's, you know, second fiddle. No, Palomino Moon was the one in charge of the fiddles last night. Phenomenal job by them. We appreciate them and all they do. Palomino Moon, incredible. What is it? Texas swing band? Is that what they call it? Anyway, old style country. Just killer stuff, though, man. I mean, great musicians, great singing, just incredible talent, fiddles and steel guitar and just, wow, you got to dig it. Palomino Moon, baby, if you want old style. They said that, they kind of joked and they said it's old style country music with a modern twist. I think that's how they put it. And what's interesting about it is they started out and they're like, yeah, we got some tunes from 40 years ago. Well, maybe 50 years ago. Well, maybe 60. All right, 70 years ago. Anyway, it was just pretty neat. Great stuff. I like them. I'm grateful for them in their involvement. Wanted to give them a big old shout out. Palomino Moon is who they are. Just a great local Texas talent. Amazing and available at our event last night. It was just delightful. Anyway, I'm a sucker for old country music, too. I love the sound of a steel guitar. I love the sound of a fiddle tearing it up. I just dig that kind of stuff. So there you have that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we also had some constitutional speakers. I mentioned Michael Perutka, and they said that he played second fiddle to Chris Ann Hall. And I don't agree with that at all. You know, they both have their own unique delivery styles. Michael Perutka, in my opinion, is a stallion. I'm talking about a hero for liberty, ladies and gentlemen, a constitutional attorney, a constitutional educator like nobody's business, folks. And Michael Perutka, TheAmericanView.com is his website. He really gives speeches relating to the appropriate understanding of the separation of powers like nobody's business. All right. As you know, constitutionally, and I speak of the separation of powers all the time on this broadcast. But you know what? Whether it's the separation of powers vertically or horizontally, it's just as important, okay? We separate on the local level in the three branches of government. We separate the states from the feds, the county from the states. So there's separations all along the line so those folks don't get too much power. Now, it's not working because not enough people understand it, but that was the intent of our founding fathers. Let's be very clear on that reality check, shall we please? So all I'm telling you is this is important to understand. Well, Michael Perutka talks about when these governors just go off, or when the president just goes off and decides he's like Legislator Joe, okay? It's absolutely 1,000% criminal. Let me say that again. When these whacked out governors and these belligerent presidents think they're kings and they just go off and think they're Legislator Joe, they break the law, ladies and gentlemen. It's criminal activity and they need to be stopped immediately for their shenanigans. Okay, let's be blunt and clear about this. Why? Because they do not, let me say it again, they do not have constitutional authority. They do not have delegated authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is important to understand, people. This is not just a joke. It's not a sidebar. It's not the ramblings of a lunatic. It is incredible necessity education. Well, anyway, Michael Peruca is one of the best at it that I know. All right? And Michael Peruca talks about and brings forth this Founding Father-esque understanding about pretend legislation. You know, if I were to all of a sudden say everybody must eat foot-long Subway marinara sauce meatball sandwiches, because in the COVID, that's the least COVID problematic food that you can eat, just say, then it would be a completely bogus pretend legislation, right? Well, the same thing is true when these governors or the president of the United States or anybody else in the wrong branch of government just goes off half-cocked and makes up whatever they want. They don't have authority. They don't have rights to do anything like that, folks. It isn't in their purview, if you will, okay? And so it's called pretend legislation, and Michael Peruca really taught me a ton about that. And he can teach you, believe it or not, Michael Peruca has put together some new programs at theamericanview.com, and you can get all of their content, all of their educational training content. Anyway, go check it out. You can learn more about it. Now, I don't get a penny right now. I'm just telling you, he does a phenomenal job, and it's worth your understanding. It's worth your focus. It's worth, you know, really understanding and think about, right? All right. Anyway, enough of that, ladies and gentlemen. But I wanted to really double down. Michael Peruca does a phenomenal job. And we need to understand this pretend legislation reality. When these governors want to run around and say, oh, masks, you got to have a mask, I said so. They don't have any authority. So you would say, well, Sam, he made a proclamation or he gave a an executive order or he. So let me ask you a question. Is that law? If it's law, where did he get authority to make law? It's not in the state constitution. It's not in the federal constitution, right? All right. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention because it's really important to understand, folks. All right, I guess several teachers in a middle school in Wisconsin were placed on leave following a question which asked a class of sixth grade students how they would punish a slave. I kid you not, folks. This is according to CBS Minnesota News, if you don't believe me. Asking these young kids, middle school Wisconsin, teachers put on leave, asking questions how they would punish a slave. They say the question was part of a social studies activity at Patrick Marsh Middle School, and they said they wanted to kind of really help the students understand. A slave stands before you. This slave won't do what you want, won't obey. Right? How do you handle the slave? What punishment would you give? Okay? The slave disrespects the master. What would you do? Then they went on and explained the punishment that was given out in yesteryear. They say they believe this will help the students understand the way things were, kind of a historical reality check about how it was back in the day in these different civilizations or societies. Just a whacked out question, ladies and gentlemen. Right? In my mind, you don't ask how you would punish slaves. You would deal with the fundamental reality that slavery, ladies and gentlemen, is evil. Okay? Slavery is satanic. Slavery comes from the pit of hell, ladies and gentlemen. And I, 1,000%, can I reject it more strongly? Reject slavery. Now, listen to me very carefully. Because I know they want you to believe slavery is a racial issue, but I don't think that it is. Okay, I believe that slavery is evil no matter who the slave owner or who the slave is. If a black person lords over a white person and makes them a slave, it's evil and wrong. If a white person lords over a black person and they promote slavery, it's evil and wrong. If a man lords over a woman and makes her a slave, it's evil and wrong. Okay? They say no student should participate in or complete the assignment. I agree with that. The teachers have been placed on leave. I think that's phenomenal. But I would also ask these parents, in the first place, why do you have your kids in these government schools in the first place, ladies and gentlemen? They're teaching communism. I don't know if you know, but government school is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, okay? And you've got to just simply yank your kids out of that cesspool. I mean, I don't get it. Okay, parents are rioting because they're teaching their children about, punishment for slavery and all this stuff. Look, get your kids out of the government school, teach them yourself, or put them in private school, homeschool or private school, and you won't have these problems. You've got to have like-minded, godly teachers educating your children, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't, are you surprised when it runs off the rails? Really? For real, you're surprised when you send your kids to the godless and they teach your kids communism because it's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, right? And then you're kind of mad? I don't even know how to help you with that discussion, right? All right. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention, too. It's just amazing to me the kind of stories that we see. And see, then they run around and tell you that I'm a racist. Why? Because I'm a, what, white guy? All right. Crushed bodies and shattered bones is the headline. That's right. Crushed bodies and shattered bones. Warns the Chinese president. Xi, is that how you say his name? X-I. Do you say Xi? Or when it's X-I and it's like a Chinese guy, is it like Roman numeral? What's that, 11? X is 10, I is 1. Is the guy named 11 or is he named Xi? Anyway, just kind of joking but wondering. But crushed bodies and shattered bones warns the Chinese president. Xi says anyone trying to split any part of the country will be pummeled. Wow, that's not very kind. Where's the united Biden? Is he going to speak up in defense of the poor people suffering in the communist nation of China? Anybody who believes in, you know, maybe, what, Taiwan or something? Having a chance or? Wow. Maybe it's not just Taiwan. Maybe it's, oh, man, what do we do with this kind of stuff? Do we back freedom or do we just maybe Hong Kong? Can any of these people be free? What does pummeled mean? Does that mean they just beat you up or does it even get worse than that? Crushed bodies, shattered bones. And we're going to say, well, you know, Donald Trump incited violence there. Well, the Chinese president is talking about crushed bodies and shattered bones. Now, let me remind you, this is our most favored nation trading partner, right? And he's talking about crushed bodies and shattered bones. Wow, I'm kind of not liking that dude too much. You know what I mean? Maybe he ought to just mellow out and get a little more peaceful. Do you think? That would certainly be the hope. Anyway, two interesting stories that I thought I'd bring to your attention, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up this hour. Next hour, we got a couple of guests with us as well. And I want to bring to your attention that, man, we are live from the CSPOA conference, and there's sheriffs and public officials meeting now discussing how they're going to respond to the gun control belligerents from Biden. They're talking about the First Amendment. How are we going to deal with stores and businesses closing and people's rights being violated left and right? We're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics as well. So I'll brief you on the details of what comes out of those meetings probably next week sometime as well. In the meantime, we'll have a couple of guests from the live conference. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas, the CSPOA conference. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. I declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right? This nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.